Hey everybody, welcome back to Classical Guitar Insider. This is your host Brett Williams, and today on the show I'm just fucking laughing because I'm thinking about the story I'm about to tell you. It's Alberta Corey is on the show, and she's 22. This isn't the story, this is just, I'm just telling you. You guys know how I feel about 22-year-olds. But she has single-handedly changed my mind. They have a new lease with me. She was a perfectly charming guest and an incredible player. I got to see her just play the Decameron, so that was great. The Brower. So that was she really, you know, she knocked it out of the park. The show is sponsored by SavageClassical.com. You can go to Savage Classical and you can get the guitar of your dreams. And then you can go over to ClassicalGuitarCorner.com and you can get lessons so that you can play said guitar to the fullest of your ability. You get to talk to Simon, who's a lovely young man and an outstanding performer. And not only do you get lessons when you go to Classical Guitar Corner, but you also get to peruse a lot of their, they have a lot of online content. He has his own podcast, which is great. So that's ClassicalGuitarCorner.com. And again, SavageClassical.com for all the best guitars on the East Coast, Bayshore, New York, SavageClassical.com. Show is also sponsored by CasperTrial.com/insider. That's CasperTrial.com/insider. So you can get the rest you need to play the guitar well, because you took the lessons from Simon. You'll have a clear head when you're taking your lessons, and you'll feel energetic on stage. I don't know, I'm just trying to tie it all in. And guess who's sponsoring us now? I haven't put the read together yet, and I haven't activated the feed, but guess who doesn't mind if I say porn site here and there? Rosetta Stone decided to go with us, so we'll be hearing from them soon. So I'm glad that they got over the fact that I made a little bit of fun of them, that I made fun of the fact that I can say about four words in German after level one, but I literally haven't taken a look at that. I mean, it's on a CD-ROM, so that'll tell you something. So we're talking 10 years ago. I was given German a go. Anyway, so yeah, Alberta Corey came on. 22-year-olds, you know, my issue with them is that they tend to be kind of know-it-alls. They tend to think people like me are in the position I'm in because of some mistake that I made or because I didn't work hard enough. That's the feeling that I get. At least that's the feeling I got when I was 25 and I talked to 22-year-olds. And as an arrogant 25-year-old, I made arrogant assumptions about 22-year-olds. But I do see, once I get to know a 22-year-old enough, that there's a little bit of that in them. That it's just an uncomfortable place to be in. And I think Alberta and I talk about that. But this isn't really about her being 22. This is about the fact that she's a magnificent guitarist and a very humble person. And I enjoyed my conversation with her very much. But the story that I was... I went back and forth on whether to tell you guys this or not. But I think it's a guitar story, kind of. I was just thinking today about what I could do about, you know, the dystonia. If you don't know, I've got this thing called dystonia. If you don't know what that is, what on earth? I thought I turned everything off. No one should be texting me at this hour. It has to be a parent. It has to be someone yapping about, I bet it is. I can't stand this guy if this is who I think it is. Let's see. Is it? No, it's not. Oh, it's like a fun, friendly, fun text. It's a group text. You know, I can't really stand those either. Oh, it's actually from my friend. It says, don't take gout sitting down. It's to me and my... Stand up and ask your doctor. I swear to God, this just happened. Oh, so it's a use Euloric. Euloric is a prescription medicine. Okay, all right, guys. See, this is why I don't like the text, because I've got very creative friends. And jobs that that require their creativity to be siphoned to texting. This Euloric levels in adults with gout. Euloric is not for the treatment of high uric acid without a history of gout. End of it. It's just got a picture of like a of an old fart standing. Is he standing on a couch with the backdrop being a grill? Anyway, so we're talking about both of my disabilities at the same time. Anyway, you know how I kick out just to make sure everybody gets the message? Just cherry juice. That knocks it out. Scott Tennant told me about it, and then a nanny at my job told me about it. Anyway, 22-year-olds are fine. But the reason I was talking about I just know I'm going to get a lot of emails about that. Like, you said you'd never interview a 22-year-old. Well, you know, it kind of happened. It happened unwittingly. And at the same time, she was very, her and her publicist were very, very forward with making sure that she got on the show. So I was like, yeah, put her on. If she wants to be on, that's great. And I have no problem I mean, I'm too old to care about 22-year-olds now. Even within the last 5 years, it's like I've dropped that. I don't care. I mean, I'm friends with anybody at this point. Anybody who will spend time with me is welcome. I'm very lonely, and it's very dark in here. So, yeah, if you want to hang out, just give me a call, and I'll make it happen. Just don't be too boring. So I was going back and forth about dystonia. What dystonia is this little thing in my hand that I got. If you can look up what it is, it was debilitating. It's sort of put a huge damper on my career, and it certainly it kind of made my career as a soloist come to an end. But now I'm kind of fixing that. Now I'm writing around it. What it is just my A finger doesn't operate when I'm using my M finger in conjunction with that. You can look up what that means if you don't know. But basically, one of my fingers doesn't work on my right hand, on my plucking hand. Anyway, so, you know, for years, this has been like a 7-year issue and, whatever. But so I've been to doctors, I've been to neurologists, I've been to guitarists that are supposed to be able to fix it. Nothing really works for me. And I'm over it. We started the podcast because of this. You guys don't know. You should know this by now. But the thing is that my dad and I don't think they listen anymore. But if you guys do, I want you to understand this is done out of love, and I want you to understand that I don't think anybody's silly here. I think that it's just kind of a funny thing, and I thought about asking you if I could share it, but I figured you'd say no, and so I figured I would just, do it and then apologize later. So I love you, Mimi and Pop, but we'll deal. I'll make up for this. Okay. So my mom calls me and says, now I just wanted to call to tell you, this is what my mom sounds like, but this is just my caricature of a mother. I just wanted to call to tell you that, your dad is going to call you, and he has an idea, and I want you to just agree with him. Because you know how he is, he'll change his mind, and once he sees how much it costs, and he won't do it. But just agree with him for now. Don't hurt his feelings or anything. I guess I'm fucking doing that now. But so I go, well, what is he going to call? But she goes, well, just say yeah. And I'm like, well, it'd help if I knew. She goes, well, he wants to see if you want to go to India with him. To do a procedure for your hand problem. And I said, what kind of a procedure? She goes, well, just some sort of brain surgery. And I'm like, well, I don't. So we both started laughing, and I go, well, I don't want to go to brain surgery. And frankly, I don't know about India right now either. I'm trying to figure my life out. So I'd love to go to India, really, but she. She goes, we'll disagree with him. So he calls up, and he, and I go, hey, how you doing? Just like like my mom hadn't called me. And he goes, yeah, well, I got this idea. And I think he goes, I got this idea that we would go to India together. And there's this brain surgery that your Auntie Kim sent a link to that says that people are playing again with dystonia. And I was like, well, that's good. I go, I'm playing, you know, I don't have it as severe as other people do. And I go, I'm figuring ways around it, but tell me more, you know? So he tells me about it. And then, you know, he sends me the link and I'm looking at the link. It's this Indian guy. You know, it's like, you know, this stuff never gets coverage. So it's like on CNN.com, there's a written article that's about, you know, six paragraphs long because nobody cares about us because we're such a small market, classical guitarists, that it's just like this India guy with half his head, Indian guy with half his head missing. You know, and he's sitting there giving a thumbs up with his guitar in his right hand. The doctor and him are giving a thumbs up, making sure we know that it's all good. So my dad goes, yeah, well, I figured we could go there, we could do the surgery, you know, we could find out some way to pay for it, and then afterwards we could travel. And I'm thinking at the time I knew old Caroline and I were kind of on the rocks, and I was thinking like, oh my God, you know, I don't know. And even if we weren't, it's like for old Caroline's sake, I wouldn't want to be a headless Brett without either half a head or like a line going through my head like this guy's going to have. You know, so I'm just thinking about me walking around like all cross-eyed because something went wrong. And I'm like walking through India with my dad, like holding his hand. So I love the idea of it. I think I like my hairline better. I think, is that bad to say? Is that vain that I would rather have hair than play guitar at the highest level possible? I mean, yeah, I feel like in that moment, I felt a little bit better about having dystonia. I was like, you know what? If it means more to me to not have a line going through my forehead and not wear a wig or something awful for the rest of my life, then maybe this is a step in the right direction. Anyway, that's my story. I don't think it's offensive. I think it's a cute parent story. You know, and my dad was just, well, I've always wanted to go to India. And so it never came up again. You know, Christmas happened. I went out there and, you know, but I just, you know, what am I going to do? I'm sitting here in either like a relationship where I'm trying to remain attractive or I'm trying to, present myself as attractive to the opposite sex, and I'm missing half my head. Anyway, that's not what's going on. Let's get on to it. It's kind of a short interview, so I'm sorry for the long intro, but this is my time with the magnificent guitarist, Alberta Corey from Australia, I believe. Am I right? I think so. And we're starting, Alberta. Okay, so now you're on. You're on the show.
Right. I'm excited too.
Now you play with the LA Guitar Quartet. What's your relationship with them?
Oh, I don't actually.
Did you study with them?
Or? No, I didn't. It was so I was honored to be actually opening for them because no, I haven't studied with them.
Do you know? Oh, shit. What's his name? David.
Yes, David. Yep, David, basically.
So David knows about your playing.
Mm-hmm.
And David knows about your playing through Sharon?
Yes.
Okay, you're studying with Sharon?
Yes, at Juilliard.
What are you getting right now? What are you working on with her? Doctorate? Master's?
I'm doing my fourth year undergraduate degree.
Undergraduate degree.
And also my first year master's.
Really?
Yeah, because I'm doing the accelerated program at Juilliard. So
how does that work? You accelerate into just glory? Instead of a master's degree?
Hopefully. But I guess instead of finishing in 6 years' time, you finish in 5 years with the undergraduate and master's combined.
Right. So you don't mind me asking because you're young, obviously. How old are you?
I'm 22.
22?
Yeah.
You can't be 22.
No,
listen,
I am.
My listeners are going to kill me.
Wait, did you think I was older or younger?
I don't know. I know that
That's so
your
funny.
Publicist wanted you to do the show.
Yes.
So we put you in.
Yeah, great.
But what I didn't know was that you're 22. I have a policy. You can't get upset. You promise not to get upset?
I will not.
I used to have a policy. You are, I believe, the first 22-year-old on the show. Oh, I always said I would never put a 22-year-old on the show.
You always specifically 20 shoes?
Specifically.
Oh, gosh. I'm sorry to... That's drastic.
No, forget about it. Don't be stressed about it. My issue is when you're 22, there's so many... It seems... It's just very... It's how does it feel... Like, in an honest way. Mm-hmm. How does it feel to be 22? Do you feel scared?
No.
No scared. You got it. You figured out. You got this.
No, I like it because... I think these years in the 20s are the age where it's just for you to do your thing. You can have fun. It's your time in life to just...
Maybe that's what I don't like about it.
You don't have much responsibilities. Yes, well, I mean, you're still studying, so don't have to have responsibilities with family or a job or paying taxes and all those things. So I think these years are just your time to do whatever you'd like. And just... They're your year. It's like the gift. It's these years for anyone that's in that age, and you can just take it whatever way you want. So
You're quite like it.
I'm excited about it. Yeah,
you're excited about it. I think that's the thing. Is I see the joy in the eyes of the 22-year-olds,
and
I need you to be crushed. Okay. You know, I need the desperation, the weight of something horrible. Have you ever had anything bad happen, like a breakup or anything like that?
No,
not yet. Right. You're just like, because life is...
beginning, yes.
Okay, well, this isn't as bad as I thought. No. This is kind of pleasant. Let's talk about you other than your age, which is great. But are you new to New York?
Yeah, I'm from Australia, Sydney, Australia.
Uh-huh.
So I wouldn't say that new to New York, but I'm in my fourth year at Juilliard, so it's my fourth year here, so...
Right.
Yeah.
It's your fourth year in the United States.
Yes.
And, you know, being from Sydney, that's obviously very, you know, culturally diverse.
Absolutely.
Place. I mean, you know,
you're not new
to the city.
Yeah, where I live is a quiet suburb, a no through road, very dead, very quiet. It's opposite
New York City
completely.
It is.
It's the antithesis of it, yeah.
And so, accelerated program. I mean, I heard you play. You sound like you've been playing for, you know, a while.
Oh, it's been a long time, yeah.
When did you get started?
When I was three.
When you were three?
Yes.
Okay, so you're 3 years old. Somebody says you got to start doing this.
Oh, no one told me.
You just grabbed the guitar.
My father wanted to learn for fun, but
I went to the shop and I said,
oh, I'd love to buy a guitar as well. So I did, and then it just started from there, and I got lessons when I was five. So, yeah.
And then as far as, like, when did David see you? Did he see you play, like,
He
a
heard
recital,
me play... I think it was in my third year at a New York Guitar Marathon. It was a concert at the New York Guitar Marathon at the Cloisters.
Just recently with Colin and everything. Colin Dad.
Just
don't touch the table because it picks it up. Don't be afraid, please.
Okay, I'm not.
Yeah, I know you're not. You don't seem. You're not afraid of anything. Life's. It's the best life ever.
Okay. I wouldn't push it that far, but okay.
Are you afraid of New York a little bit? Where do you live? Like, what neighborhood you live? Upper West Side or?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, good. Lincoln Center Plaza. It's next to the. It's a beautiful area. The campus is privileged. It's just literally right next to the Metropolitan Opera.
Okay, so you live right next to the Metropolitan Opera.
Yeah, the building is just near it, very close.
Are you an opera fan a little bit? You go to the opera once?
Yeah, I do when there's time.
Who do you like? Who's your opera? Italians?
I probably love
Germans?
Verdi a lot.
Verdi's a pretty good guy. That's good.
I don't know which ones to pick. The contemporary ones are pretty good. They're a stretch, but they're good. Like, I don't know, Alan Berg or something.
Alan Berg. He's your boy.
Yeah,
we'll call him Alan.
I'm fine with it.
No, we call him Al.
I blanked on that one.
I don't pronounce anything. Yeah. Right. I don't get anything right. That's why the show is. I don't know.
Okay.
That's why I'm gonna die penniless and alone.
Oh gosh.
So you're gonna have you're 22. You can do anything you want. You're gonna have to take care of like people like me. Like,
really?
Yeah.
Okay.
We don't have it together. We don't know what's going on. But you guys are like speed demons. So you did the Cloisters. I really wanted to go to that. I got the invite a little too late.
It was beautiful.
I know Colin well. So I don't know if you know him, but
I do.
What about
yes.
Gohar? You ever talked to Gohar?
She's
a student.
Come into my as a guest once in our performance class. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's lovely. Yeah,
She's one of Sharon's big. So as far as you know, what kind of guitar are you playing? You don't mind me asking.
I'm playing. Oh no, of course not. I'm playing an Australian-made guitar by Kim Lissarug.
Lissarog.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Kim Lissarog. Mm-hmm. Kim is in Australia a boy's name as well. Is it a boy? Okay, good. Yeah. So it's not
No, it's not a girl.
I was excited. I was like, there's a girl.
Oh, it's a girl.
Like,
yeah, no, it's not.
No. I mean, there should be. Yeah, there should be. The future's female, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
I'm going to coin that.
Okay.
I'm going to put it on shirts and stuff. As far as, and then who was your teacher in Australia?
My first teacher was Alfred Alexander. Mm. So I studied with him for quite a number of years. And then I studied with Gregory Pickler at the Sydney Conservatorium when I was in high school. Or is that middle school in the States?
I don't know the difference.
I don't know. I don't know. High school basically from age 11 to 18. And then I studied with...
Wait, Sharon. High school is age 11 to 18?
12 to 18.
Wow,
like that.
So there's 12. Well, no, actually, I know that because I've seen, like, you know, have you ever seen Summer Heights High?
I've heard of it.
Yeah, so I think that's where I knew that. Yeah. There were, like, tiny little kids getting picked on by full-grown men.
Oh, really? Okay. Then that's probably the
age
bracket.
Chris Lilly, who's, like, an Australian comedian that, like, me and my friend cannot get enough of. The Amy Angry Boys was one thing he did. Just drives, we love it so much.
Oh.
We love him so much. You guys have got it down there. Everything's going. Everything. That's like the.
It
that's
seems
the future.
Very dead there a little bit sometimes.
I've decided the future isn't female. The future is Australian.
Okay.
As far as like have you been on tour? Is this like part of a tour? You're just coming out here and doing it?
Yeah.
How excited are you to be doing that?
It's
is this
amazing.
Like one of the first times this
it.
Has happened where like you're being
basically.
Flown out?
Yeah.
And put up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's exciting.
In a hotel,
I love it. Yeah.
And you're like stretched out.
Yeah. Yeah. It's amazing. Yeah.
It is amazing. Yeah. Do you have a car?
Yeah. They're very kind.
They
drive
car.
You back and forth.
Oh, they
I don't
drive.
No.
Oh, okay.
But yeah.
Yeah. They gave me a car. So, you know, maybe when you get a little older, they'll give you.
They'll make you do it yourself. No, it's okay.
I have to do it myself. That's right. I don't have a. So you got a chauffeur? You got a couple of limos?
Not limos, no, but, well, it's...
Police
it's
escort?
The same thing.
Motorcade?
No, not the police, not yet.
when you play, I heard you play, you are an outstanding player.
Oh, thank you, really.
You are, I really heard it, it was really, and you were playing a piece that I've heard plenty of times.
Oh, really?
The Decameron.
It's a beautiful piece, isn't it?
Yeah. But you played it really cleanly, and at the same time, you really powered it.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I mean, you were really hitting it hard, and, I mean, how is it, you know, dealing with these are some of your first performances as a young person.
Sure, yeah.
Nerve-wise in an audience, in front of an audience like that, how'd you feel today?
It was interesting. Before I went on stage, everything about it was just, it's like you're having a dream, but everything in a dream is normally very perfect, right? Because it's in your mind, it's a real thing. And what was funny about this was, even though it was reality, it was still so ideal, the setting of it, you know, the hall and just going out on the stage and the audience and playing with other amazing artists like the LAGQ. I mean, the whole thing was surreal.
Yeah.
And I think you get very emotional going through that and hyper sensitive. So I would probably describe it as really overwhelming.
So you were...
definitely. In a good way.
In a good way. So you were so probably emotionally overwhelmed that you didn't really have time to be physically impeded by nerves.
Oh, I think the nerves were there because I looked at my fingers... And they were kind of shaking. I mean, naturally,
but
it's pretty overwhelming. But
the idea is to not let that be the.
Yeah, I mean, I think performing it so. I feel like at this point, it varies in setting to setting, and you just go with whatever flow you're feeling. I don't think.
Yeah, you don't have an option when you're up there. You're like, well, I can't get away from here.
No, you can't.
And your body's like, I want to go, and you're like, well,
it's the flight. It's the flight syndrome. Of course, you'd want to run away from. But I mean, you know, it's not. There's no need for that. I mean,
there's nothing like the feeling afterwards. And then afterwards, you feel like you're so kicked back.
Yeah, it felt relieved. Or it was, it was an interesting feeling. But it was a mix of things. I can't pinpoint it to one thing. It's just so... I think you cover the full spectrum of emotions.
Yeah.
Literally.
Yeah.
The feeling of joy or the feeling of, oh, no, I'm worried. Or the feeling of, oh, what am I doing? It's everything.
What
mind,
am I doing here was something I felt a lot... Yeah. When I was in my 20s, I felt a little bit like, what? Like, I don't even want to, like, I don't really want to be here. And then
because it's a little much. Yeah.
It's a lot. It's
intense.
A lot. It's
intense.
A lot. And, you know, I've talked about this. I think I talked about this with another group, but just because you're a good guitarist doesn't mean you want to get on stage and stand in front of a group of 300 strangers.
Yeah, that's true, isn't it? It's funny that way. It's interesting.
But you got it. Performing is weird, yeah. And so as far as performing, like, you know, do you... To be honest, I had to stand behind the doors. They didn't let me in.
Oh, okay.
So I just got to listen to you. But I didn't see what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really, really unfortunate. I didn't get to see what your stage presence is, but what do you do in preparation for that? Do you do anything? Do you have any sort of influences? Do you try to, you know, like if you had your own show, would you address the audience a lot? You know,
I'd like to talk to the audience.
You'd
more.
Like to be able. Do you? Do
I
you
didn't do that today because I felt like it would blend nicer to not speak. Right. Because it was a short segment.
Mm-hmm.
But this evening I want to talk. I like that. I feel like it reminds you that you're playing for people. To me, if you're not, if you can't see the audience clearly, or if you're not going to talk to them, it's like
are you
like,
playing an entire
awkward.
Solo concert this evening? Mm-hmm. Okay. And that's at 6:30?
6:15.
Oh, shit.
That's okay. Oh, but I feel like in performing, ideally, it's nice to be able to see your audience. That's why I would envy opera singers, because when they perform, they're it's like you're talking to someone and you're looking at the audience.
What a great point.
And I like that a lot because it reminds you, it's like you're going into a room and you're talking to someone, but you're not looking at someone. And you're not. That's awkward, obviously.
Yeah,
and that's what performing can feel like because you're not seeing how the person's reacting to everything you're saying.
Yeah.
But an opera singer can see that. And I like that a lot because you feel like you're conversing with them more. I mean, in the guitar, I guess you feel that way, but it's different, certainly. But I think if I was inspired by anyone, I don't know. I'm not sure.
I just go with the feelings, I guess. The idea of like being able to address the audience directly.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that singing is easy. That's not.
No.
I don't think you're saying that either.
No.
But
no,
I think you do get to look at everybody and go.
You feel more connected with them.
And being connected with the audience is
and
the
I think that's
easiest
why
way to take care
today
of the nerves.
Will be a nice. It breaks the ice with the audience more because it's like, oh, we're all just people. Let's, you know, because I think when you don't speak, it's like you're separating, you're putting yourself on a pedestal towards them, which
you're creating a wall.
You're creating a wall. Yeah. And I mean, it's okay to have some kind of presence, but I feel like you want everyone to feel like they're on the same page. I like that feeling.
Me too. And it's also, I think it's a generational
thing. It's
more
realistic.
We want,
like we're not.
Right. It's more realistic. Yeah, there's an authentic, you know, it also comes off as wrong when someone's up there doing something so rote.
Yeah.
Where they're like, you know, I don't know, I don't want to name the name, but there was some guy that got up on stage and was like, I spoke with the great John Williams the other, and I'm just like, there's no, like, we don't want that.
It's not authentic.
Yeah, just talk. And what are you going to talk about?
I guess I'll just describe my program.
Just describe.
But at least
it.
Say something.
Just get
awkward.
Used to talking. Just
talk with them.
And then eventually, I mean, you're a funny person. You seem like you're a funny person.
I don't think I'm funny, but
do you not
okay.
think you're funny?
People tell me I'm funny, but that's something to be discovered.
And what are they? Did you, well, I think you
apparently.
Should, well, you probably have like a. You seem outgoing.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, yeah.
Like
getting
used
to it.
You're getting used to it.
Yeah, I think so.
Embrace it, because that's what I think that's what we want.
Yeah.
We want people to be on stage and we want to talk to them. You want to share a moment with them. You want to pretend they're your friend, like you do when
I
you watch somebody.
That much more, because I think it's probably because my first concert experiences when I was a kid, maybe that's where it's rooted from. They just seemed very stiff.
Yeah.
And you can't even cough. Or move. And to me, that's scary because it means when you go on the stage, everyone's completely listening to every note.
Yeah.
And that's, I don't know, I find that completely like you're in a vacuum and you're just contained.
Me too.
So
somebody's phone went off
to,
during the quartet concert and this guy looked back and went like,
sort of,
and kind of looked at me and I went, what? Her phone
oh,
went
gosh,
off. Like, it's like, okay, leave her alone. Like,
things
she's just,
happen. I mean, that's etiquette, happens. Of course, is important, but I guess the thing
well,
is
it's
is
being
that,
recorded. Like,
I don't
you just
know.
Ruined.
Yeah.
The potential recording of somebody, but at the same time...
That is pretty bad. Okay, that's bad, but
you know
I
what
guess
I'm
it's a sense
No,
of, yeah.
I didn't even think about that, but I also think, like, so, that's the way it goes. You're recording a live concert. We live in an age of cell phones. People's
that's
cell phones.
True, yeah.
It happened to me at Carnegie Hall. My cell phone went off back in the first days of cell phone days. Back, like, I had a little flip phone, and I remember my girlfriend at the time, I turned to her, and my friend was having... her Carnegie Hall premiere, which, you know, is just vile, you know, recital hall.
Wow.
So she's sitting there, she's playing an original composition
oh
by
gosh.
My other friend.
That's amazing.
Who is recording this.
That's so nice.
I turned to my girlfriend before a performance, and this is back in the day. This is, you know, this is 12 years ago.
Yes.
So I said, make sure, because I saw her, you know, not checking her phone, but I said, make sure you turn your phone off, because I'm the classical guy, you know.
The classical.
She was in TV. I was like, make sure you turn your phone off. You know, you got to turn your phone off at these things.
Mm.
And she goes, yeah, I got it. And I was like, don't, like, I was a lot fiery back then. Now I'm like very nice. But I was like, don't give me. Huh. And in the midst of it all, I forgot to turn my phone off.
Oh, no.
So my phone goes off.
It's like the Marx Brothers. It's just not going to happen. Oh, gosh.
My friend's dad just looks at me and goes, what? Like, he doesn't really know me that well. You know, it's like a friend from, I went to Manus.
Oh, did you? Okay.
I did, yeah. Yeah.
That's a great place.
It was great.
I remember I went and visited there before Juilliard.
It's okay. Thank you very much.
It's great. They have wonderful
it's
teachers.
A great
I was
place.
Considering going.
Yeah,
so
you were considering.
Nice.
Yeah. But then Juilliard, you just were like, I guess I'll put up with going to Juilliard.
Yeah.
Manus is a great place for me to poop on.
No, definitely.
No, I'm
not.
Just joking. No, it's a good place. It's a good place. You meet Fred and Mike and all that? Did you audition?
Yeah. Oh, I didn't do an audition, but I remember seeing it, and I knew the teacher from there. And yeah. No, I don't mean this sarcastically. Oh, gosh.
No, it's okay. We all know that.
I don't want to push in a reputation, though. No. I'm neutral.
You are neutral. I'm going to let you off the hook. I want it to be known for the record that Alberta.
No.
Feels that Manus is a really great place.
Yeah, it is. Every place is great. It's just what you make of it.
It is what you make of it. It is what you make of
it.
Yeah. Well, you know, you can be a Juilliard, and you know, you can take those. You know, I know you get like, you know, one lesson, maybe two lessons a semester with her.
Oh, more.
No, I'm just joking.
Definitely.
That's me taking a stab at you guys.
No.
Right?
But that can happen with certain teachers if they're touring. Absolutely.
I know, and it's
never ideal. I mean,
right? Well, I just had Rez in here, and we were just talking about studying with teachers that tour a lot.
That's tricky.
I think he studied with Scott Tennant, and it is like a thing because you want, and I think Sharon's phenomenal, and she's always been very nice to me when I've hung out with her, which you know we hang out all the time, just you know smoking weed and eating cookies, but we don't. I hope you know that.
I'm gullible, so you have to take it easy on me.
No, so
I don't believe that, no.
We just eat weed cookies. Mm-hmm. So. We used to have this. She has this one room in her house that's just all mirrors, and we just go in there and we get totally loaded.
That's made up.
It's Sharon. Totally made up. Okay. Sharon does not have a room of mirrors.
Okay.
Sharon, I don't know that well, but from all of my interactions with her, she's always been very kind to me. And
of course, yeah.
Yeah. So what? Where is this going? Sharon in a room of mirrors.
Is this about Sharon?
No, it's not. What were we talking about? Hey, keep it down out there. This is a recording in progress.
Oh, gosh.
I know. I'm just messing with you guys. I love you.
Oh, no.
I kind of want to listen to what they're saying.
Oh, no.
Did she say we're going the distance for beekeepers?
Apparently.
Oh, it's about retirement. They're having a little conversation about retirement. Let's see if we can pick it up with the third mic.
Oh, gosh.
Let's see if we can do it. All right, hold on. This will be fun, right? You down with this? Are you nervous about this?
No.
All right, so we got that. What's going on is she lives on a throne in a shelter, and she thought, why is she living here?
He has an option.
That's it. Hold on 1 second. Let me just get in. You know what? We're almost going to... 1 second. Let me just...
Sure.
You know what? I think we got him.
Are you going to see
Janice? Oh, they're all here to see Janice Ian.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, do you know who she is? I don't really either, but I think she's like a legendary folk musician.
Oh.
Yeah. Anyway, so, you know, we're gonna, as far as, I don't even know what we were talking about. I don't know whether I'm going to edit that out. I probably won't, because I kind of love it.
But as far as like, what's your favorite? Do you listen to a little bit of pop music once in a while?
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm.
What do you listen to? Indie rock, any of that?
Mix of things. I was listening to Thriller the other day.
Hold on one sec. I don't know. The Janice Ian people are here.
Oh, okay.
Sorry, guys. We have a recording in progress. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I was listening to Thriller.
Yeah.
I just love that song. I like Michael Jackson's songs. They're funky.
Yeah.
And they're nice.
Oh, they are. They are. Michael Jackson is funky and nice. Is that right? Oh, so you're listening to Thriller? You like Thriller a lot?
Well, for example, yeah, that was just a song I was listening to.
Alberta, what's your the last name? How do you pronounce it one more time?
Curry.
Curry.
Yeah.
And is it where? What is the nationality?
Lebanese.
There? Lebanese. Mm-hmm. Right. So you're a Lebanese Australian. Lebanon is west, kind of. Do you even know where it is?
No, I know where. I know the countries surrounding it.
I know it's like Syria, Middle East, Lebanon, Middle East, like up, yeah. But up. Is uppy? I don't know. So I don't know.
Okay. Any of this stuff. All right.
I don't think people like us, classical guitarists, have the time to know everything because we're busy.
I wouldn't give excuses, but okay.
What else? What TV show do you like? What's your favorite TV show?
I don't watch TV, but Seinfeld's funny.
Seinfeld and Michael Jackson.
Okay. Never so mind. I take that back. Gosh.
You're really doing. First of all, I want you to know you're doing a really good job.
I am.
I'm the one that's not doing a good job.
Okay.
Yeah, I just recorded people having a conversation in the hall. Did you have a good time?
With the conversation in the hall.
With this.
Oh, I thought you meant. Okay. Yeah. Of course.
Let's talk about your about the other thing. So, what do you look for when you're scheduling a program? When you're
when I'm scheduling a program.
Not scheduling a program, because you don't, I mean, schedule as much.
I'm looking for it to
When you put together a program. When you submit a program, mm-hmm. you're looking for it to be 3 p.m.
Yeah, well, okay.
I schedule a program, I'm always kind of into the 3 p.m. slot.
Yeah, that's exactly what
no,
I do, yeah.
100%. 3 p.m. on a Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
That's the best.
Yeah.
That's like our gift. Mm. These poor rock and jazz and these
they
people...
They do it till midnight or
yeah, they're like... Yeah. I hate it when my friends are like, come to my gig. When is it? 10:30, Tuesday.
Yeah. Like, yeah, it's...
That's like my sixth beer.
Right? Yeah,
I can't do it anymore.
The sixth beer.
Sixth beer. Lebanese. So did your parents come from Lebanon too? Mm. Yeah, so they went to Australia. Why did they go to Australia? Sydney.
My mother moved there when she was 8.
Oh, okay.
With her
so
family. Like, my father stayed during the war. So, yeah.
During what war? What
the was, Civil War.
The Civil War in...
Lebanon.
I know all about
okay.
that.
Great.
No, so what's that? What was that about? We don't know?
I'm not going to go into the details, though, because I don't think I know the complete details, but yeah.
It's not like our Civil War with like a bunch of muskets and like Lincoln. It wasn't about a guy named Lincoln.
No, it wouldn't be. I don't actually know too much about that.
We have so much.
I have a lot of gaps, don't I? I'm a Swiss cheese.
Well, now this is the point. This is the thing about being a young person is that we have to learn about what we don't learn so that we can move forward. Mm. Now, do you realize that everything that you don't know something about, I, at age 40, also don't know anything
that's
about?
That's more worrying.
Does that feel... That's more...
Yeah, that's so much more worrying. Oh, gosh.
Well, it doesn't matter because you either retain all this information or you don't. Do you retain a lot of information or no? Well, you have... We don't have room. We don't have room. You got to practice.
I wouldn't center everything on the practicing, but okay.
I didn't see it, but did you have it memorized?
What?
Decameron.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, but...
But...
Not really. It's not that big a deal.
It's not that big of a deal.
It's too beautiful. Of course you would memorize it.
Yeah.
It's so nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to go memorize it right now.
Okay.
After I learn all about the Civil War in Australia.
In Australia.
All right. So that was really good. It was great talking to you.
Yeah, it was nice.
I'm glad I did this. I'm glad we did it.
Yeah.
It was fun. All right. Alberta.
Definitely.
Good to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
That does it for my time with Alberta. What a charming, lovely, young guitarist. And it was exciting to meet with her. I hope that we get to hang out soon, Alberta. And make sure you go to brettwilliamsmusic.com and become a member today to help support the show and make a life of not bartending a reality for me. Love you guys. Bye.